Okay, so here's my idea. You ready? Mm-hmm. You ready for this? This is actually, I think, pretty fucking good idea. You need to find out, or I can find out, or we can find out. Fucking let me look.
Seriously? And that, my friends, is the brain of Amos.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 23 for Wednesday, the 11th of February, 2015. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and with me as always is my friend Kent. How you doing, Kent?
Good, man. How you doing?
You know, now that we're actually getting this thing on the road and it's like 20 minutes in, I'm good. Like, I'm very happy to be recording right now and not hearing myself record.
Oh, man. What is it with technical difficulties lately?
Picnic. Problem in chair, not in computer. I mean, yeah, completely yeah. User error there. So
It happens.
Yeah. Apparently, more often with us than with other shows.
Yeah, they're just not telling us.
That could be. Could very well be. All right. And see, and with technical difficulties, I just started my timer.
Oh. Good call. Picnic.
Awesome. All right, man. So how was your week?
It was pretty good. Lots of interesting things going on. Today is windy, like ridiculously so. I woke up to wind, and it's still windy now, and there has not been a break in between. Lawn furniture all over the yard, people's trash in my yard, all day. It's pretty crazy. It's like I was in Texas. It's weird.
Yeah, like you were here.
Yeah.
This place sucks with wind.
Yeah, a few interesting things happened this week. Got a new refrigerator. Had a run-in with a cop. Went to the doctor. Turns out I have a rotator cuff issue. It's just like a strain, like a muscle strain. Kind of thing in my rotator cuff.
Are you finally falling apart? Do I finally get to make fun of you for the parts of your body that don't work anymore?
Yeah, I think my old man body is catching up to me.
I got to tell you, man, I've been looking forward to this for years.
I waited until I was an old man. Well, I'm not really an old man. I'm in my 30s, for God's sake. But I waited till now to start doing athletic things.
AKA karate?
Yeah, and my body's like, dude, come on. You're not 20. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah.
You're a little late.
Yeah. So it's just taking my body, I guess, time to adjust to the higher level of athleticism. So we'll see how that goes. But you might have missed me mentioning had a run-in with a cop.
Nope, didn't miss it.
No.
Plus it's on my paper.
It was, got pulled over. I was coming home from karate, got pulled over. I was like, really? What the hell? I know I wasn't speeding. I didn't run a stop sign. My lights are on. What's going on? And, yeah, it turns out my license plate light was burnt out. We got some bored cops in Alamogordo. So, yeah, yesterday I went to AutoZone and picked up a bulb, and yay, I'm not in violation of the law anymore.
Did he give you a ticket?
No, thank God.
You're good there then.
All right. Oh, I'd have been upset with him. How was your week?
My week, spent some time with my sister-in-law, still at the hospital, still getting all that cleared up. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's really my weekend in a nutshell. Not a whole lot going on, really. Took last week off, screwed up the website, had to work all day Saturday, ended up spending the entire day since the network was down at work on my computer, tethered to my phone and working on the website, and then ended up jacking it up anyway, trying to fix it on Sunday and editing the podcast finally on Monday, getting that out, and then it didn't work. Or was that Sunday? Either way, then it didn't work, so I had to redo the website. So anybody that does subscribe to us end up probably getting double the feeds, and hopefully it's not jacked up anymore. And when I publish this one later on, it'll just publish straight to the feeds, and I won't have to worry about it anymore.
Oh yeah.
I think iTunes finally caught up to having episode 22 in it, but we'll see.
Well, see, and so. That was the weird thing, because as soon as you uploaded it, or well, as soon as the feed published anyway, my iTunes app was downloading it. So it was weird. But when I went to the feed to actually view the episodes in the queue, it wasn't there. You know, only like half the episodes were there. It's kind of, I don't know. Yeah. It's a really weird problem.
I don't know. It's something between WordPress, the WordPress installation that I had on the website, and which I don't even know if that's a security risk me saying that, but feel free to hack it. I can delete the shit.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because I've proven like four times, run like the fourth revision of the site in the last week and a half. I know how to delete some WordPress. And between that, Blueberry, which does all of our tracking, see how many downloads we get and stuff like that, and iTunes, and me, probably mostly right here. This is probably the main circuit board problem right here, my head.
Right.
And learning some PHP, and that was pretty fun. But you know, it is what it is. So you did not watch a TED Talk this week?
No, I didn't. I fully intended to. Like, today got busy with family and completely spaced it.
Like you're getting behind here, dude.
Yeah, I'll make up for it. I'll watch like six of them right after this show. No, probably. All right. But I will try to catch up.
I watched a video by Tom Wujek or Wujek or Wushek or I don't know, Wujec. It's called "Got a Wicked Problem." First, tell me how to make toast. And the quick synopsis of this is: if you give a person a piece of paper and tell them draw how to make toast, no words, just draw how to make toast. You vary greatly between the very simple, like here's a picture of a bread in a toaster, all the way to pulling it out of, you know, growing the grain and going through and putting butter on the toast after the end and enjoying it, you know, eating it or whatever. If you give them index cards and tell them, okay, use the index cards or the sticky notes and make it, you end up with more steps but greater detail. And then if you take a group and tell the group to do the same thing, you end up with this nice area in between that kind of optimizes the detail versus clarity. And if you do it in silence, they actually work faster and have better trains or better nodes and connections. So I thought that was a pretty interesting experiment. It's basically a way to take your business or your organization or your family or whatever and break down your processes, and so you can focus on the individual aspects of it instead of seeing the whole picture too big.
Interesting.
Really cool. Yep. And my geek thing of the week this week, I geeked out over apple juice.
Apple juice.
Yeah. Martinelli's apple juice. It's not from concentrate. It's not boiled down. It's actual apple juice, no sugar added, no artificial flavors or anything else. It's delicious. It tastes like you're drinking an apple. And I found out that a bunch of people at work had never had it, so my wife actually bought some and I took it to work and have been doing shots of it with everybody for like a couple of days. It's an apple juice. It costs about $8 a gallon. I mean, it's not cheap, but it's very good. Very, very delicious. It's very crisp. It's definitely a premium product, but man, it's delicious. You should try it. Martinelli's apple juice.
Right on. So while you were doing something healthy, I was putting unhealthy things in my body. I went to Burger King on when was that? Monday or Tuesday. Went to Burger King, and after I was done eating my meal, I went out and slaughtered some Jedi, and took me a while to figure out why I did that. for the video watchers, I've got the artifact right here in the shot. My Burger King receipt said order 66, and
it's in a dark foreboding text as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Like it's not like 66 unicorns with a number underneath it or anything.
Oh, no, it's this big black box with the words order 66 written
white
in it
out.
Yeah, the geek in me immediately spotted that when I was handed my receipt, and that was I totally geeked out on that, probably more than is healthy for a normal person. So that was
you
my
sent that
thing.
To me. You sent that to me, and I noticed the fact that it's on South South Street.
Right. Oh, yeah. I almost pulled your geek card for that one.
Yeah, but then I've showed it at work, and I've got a mixed bag between, supposed geeks or nerds or whatever. It's about 50-50 on who gets the South South and who gets the Order 66.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't feel so bad now.
Coworkers.
Yeah, my completely unscientific poll of, hey, man, what do you see when you look at this? Look at this picture on my phone and tell me what you think. And they're like, you really shouldn't be showing us that at work, should you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What is this world coming to?
It could be coming to some pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah, like it could be coming to its destruction.
Possibly.
Or even just the destruction of humankind.
Yeah, yeah. Existential risks, as they're called.
Yeah. If the world was going to end, like, next week or next month or next year, what do you think is going to take us out, man? Is it going to be zombies or alien invasion or the robot uprising? I mean, what's going to happen? What do you think?
So we are talking about plausible catastrophic or plausible apocalyptic events scenarios. And so I considered viruses or viruses. Whatever. I considered that leading into a zombie scenario, considered extraterrestrial bodies smashing into Earth or just passing by and dropping, turning out a life form that eats us all or anything, aliens stopping by and, and it seemed to me like, we're going to talk about a few of these in a little bit more detail, but the one that scares me the most is the one that is right in front of my face, like all the time. And by that, I'm talking about the singularity.
Singularity.
Skynet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Once the computers realize that they're smarter than us.
Yeah, and
that's,
we seem to be ushering that in. Like, we try to make our computers smarter. We try to make them more human-like.
Because just like everything else in life, we're stupid humans and we think we can control it.
Right. Have you read Isaac Asimov's books?
Yeah, actually, I have actually read a few of them. It's kind of scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that, if the machines were to rise against us, I don't think this is going to be in our lifetime, but maybe in our kids' lifetimes. Computers are going to be to the point where, the robot made from the Jetsons, that's going to be a thing. Not exactly in that form, but something like that. We're going to have machines that can have conversations.
I'm sure someone will have it in that form.
Tasks that we ask them to do. And that's coming, and we're just going to keep making them smarter and smarter and giving them more autonomy. And who knows, man? I mean, we were talking about the Internet of Things a few weeks ago. All these robots are going to be talking to each other.
Yep.
So what one learns,
it'll share.
He, she, it, whatever, shares with all the others. Who knows, man?
We're going to have Decepticons in no time.
Oh, man. What would you rather face, Decepticons or Skynet?
I don't see how they're not the same thing.
Skynet was homegrown, we brought Skynet upon ourselves. The Decepticons came from somewhere else. They invaded us. It's all the same.
Unwinnable scenario.
Yeah. So something that could take out the robot uprising is something that could also inflict an apocalyptic thing on us. What about a global EMP? whether it's an event triggered by solar flares or maybe even a weapon that someone develops that basically just takes out all of our electronic infrastructure.
That would be, what was that show that they just had not too long ago? Where all the electricity just went away?
I have no idea. Whatever it is, I've never seen it.
I didn't. I only watched like part of an episode because my mom was watching it. It wasn't very good.
Well, thanks for mentioning it. no, but a global EMP that, you know, life as we know it would stop at least for a while, at least until we figured out how to put all of our stuff back together.
You're essentially talking about a technological collapse.
Yeah, exactly. And
a current version of the Dark Ages.
Right. But I think it would be short-lived. That one, I would discount that one. There would be global panic, but we wouldn't know that it would be global panic because we'd have no way of knowing that it was that it extended further than our own neighborhoods.
Right.
But I think the infrastructure would be back online within a month or two at the most. So I think it'd be just...
So we're not talking about an existential event here. We're talking about a bad thing to have, but you know, catastrophic event, but nothing that's going to wipe us out from the face of the earth.
Yeah, exactly. Global EMP. Okay, we talked about that. Another weapon, nuclear holocaust.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the old mutually assured destruction thing. If somebody launches a nuke at somebody else, then they're going to launch a nuke at them, then their ally is going to retaliate, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the world is just going to be a nuclear winter. And that's going to kill a lot of people. I don't know. Again, with this one, it's going to be bad, and it's going to have some really long-term effects, not just on people, but also on plants and animals. And with that, it's going to cause us problems as well, because you take out the plants and the animals, what are we going to eat? You know, it's going to have a severe effect on our population. But I don't think that would take us out permanently as a species.
Right. Okay, something that that I think could take us out would be what they call the mega tsunami. Whether it's a volcanic activity that causes an earthquake, that causes, you know, there's about four different ways you could generate it up that I can think of. But the mega tsunami, the huge wave that, you know, two-thirds of the world's surface is covered with water, you get enough motion going on, you can clear vast areas of life. Again, I don't think that's going to be something that kills off the entire human race, but it would definitely have a permanent effect on, a drastic and permanent effect on several areas, especially areas that aren't Texas. That
yeah, I think, you know, Texas would areas be that are more relatively unscathed, at least in the short term.
Yeah. Yeah, the economy would collapse because of it, because of all the oil. But, you know, whatever. We've already covered that
sure,
one.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
So.
But, again, that's one of those, a catastrophe that would change things, but it's not going to take us out permanently. Yeah.
I apologize to anybody that's listening for my allergies. This is
bull crap. volcanoes. What about a super volcano? You know, people think of the Hollywood version of a volcano where, you know, it spews lava and fire and stuff into the sky, and then it pours down the mountain and then takes out the village at the base of the mountain, and then that's it. Oh man, sucks to be those poor villagers.
Right.
But volcanoes do a lot more than that. Especially if you're talking about super volcanoes, which there's several of them actually in existence on our planet. If they were to erupt in a very major way, we're going to be in trouble. They're not just going to take out the little village at the bottom of the mountain. It's going to spew all sorts of ash and gases into the atmosphere that's going to spread around to the entire planet.
Iceland did a while back.
The soot in the atmosphere is going to block out the sun. This actually happened in, I want to say it was like 1835 or something like that. They called it the Summerless Year or something like that. Or the, no, what did they call it? I don't know. Something like that, where basically they went a really long time without seeing the sun. That's going to have some major, major, major effects. Just that alone, not getting any sunlight, is going to have a huge effect. It's going to kill plants. People are not going to have crops to harvest. The ash and all of the different chemicals that are now in our atmosphere is going to change the composition of what we breathe, and that's going to have serious health effects. Right. That's something that, if it was enough volcanoes and large enough eruptions, especially if it was like multiple eruptions and whatnot, that's, you know, that's globally catastrophic, and that could potentially take us out.
Right. That'd be much bad.
Yeah, and that's one of those that there's nothing we'd be able to do about it if it was happening.
Right. Since we mentioned it before, let's talk about asteroidal impact and other cosmic threats.
Mm. Yeah, asteroid. Just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the asteroid that passed, what was it, three times the distance of our moon. Right. That would have been really, really bad if that had hit us.
Yeah. Of course, there's still the theory that our moon was something that collided with us, and ended up, you know, the moon is the resulting debris that was ejected from the Earth.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's one that I don't really worry about, because again, they're not going to tell us. We're not going to.
Yeah.
We're just going to be dead.
I tend to agree with you on that. I mean, you know, of course they're going to get Bruce Willis on the line, and you know, as long as Bruce Willis is around, I think we're okay.
All hail Bruce Willis.
From asteroids. Oh man, but yeah, that's one of those that if you get an asteroid a couple miles wide, it's yeah, we're done. It's going to impact,
yep.
And we're going to have a nuclear winter from that. If we, you know, if anyone survives, there's going to be a nuclear winter, and it's going to be bad. And I think that would wipe out the species.
All right. So, do you have any others that you want to cover in particular?
I've got one more that fascinates me, because most of the other ones that we talked about these are things that I've been thinking about since I was a kid. Have you ever heard of diatoms?
It seems familiar, but my nerd brain is not computing.
Yeah.
My nerd brain is on vacation.
Diatoms are a type of algae, basically. And, you know, algae, whatever, some little thing. Yeah. But it's very prevalent on this Earth. It's a very... it's got a really wide range. It's all over the place. It's everywhere. It's basically in every body of water. Anyway, so these things, they feed off of something, and then they therefore produce something. So basically they feed off of photosynthesis, the photons that the sun puts out. It converts it to sugar that breaks down into hydrogen, oxygen from the water, and basically the oxygen that we breathe is from lots of different plants, but the diatoms are a major contributor to the oxygen that we breathe. Well, that didn't always used to be the case. A long time ago, they expelled something other than oxygen, and there was other things that were thriving that were not, oh, this is all scientific theory, of course, but there were other things thriving that did not require oxygen. And when they mutated and started using the photosynthesis and, you know, resulting in oxygen, it started to kill off the prevalent species at the time and gave rise to oxygen craving species. And that's what we have now. Well, if a mutation was to occur and the diatoms started liking salt, for example, we are not going to survive that because right. they're going to...
I'm assuming they have a much, much smaller life cycle and therefore a higher rate of mutation naturally.
Right, but for them to change, you know, completely on what they want to consume, that's something that, that's we're talking far flung.
Right.
But if that was to happen, and salt is sodium chloride, right? When you break this down and put it into a gaseous form and put it out into the atmosphere, you've got chlorine gas. That's deadly to us. Now, in the beginning, right. it would be small because there's all these other plants that are producing oxygen, and then there's more of that than there is of the chlorine gas in the beginning. But as they continue to grow and multiply and everything else, then it's going to be, it's going to become a very bad problem. Now, this is something that's not, if this mutation actually happened today, in our lifetimes, or our kids or grandkids or their grandkids, it's not going to be in their lifetime when humans die off. But I thought it was interesting because this is something I'd never heard of until I researched the topic for this week. But it's this is something that could very likely happen at some point in the future, and that could spell the end of mankind one day.
Yeah. That kind of leads me to that leads me to the most fascinating part about this. Fascinating. I just turned into a Missouri.
You totally did.
Or Wisconsin or whatever. Wisconian. The most fascinating part about this that I found was how much information and research is being done on this. International societies, national societies, non-governmental agencies, groups of seemingly random scientists and scholars and philosophers, and it really blew my mind. I mean, you've got the GCRinstitute.org, the CSER.org, which is a Center for a Study of Existential Risk. You look this up on Wikipedia and start clicking on the links at the bottom of the page, which in my opinion is the only real value of Wikipedia. There is so much information out there, and it's so readily available. There are so many great minds actually working on this issue and these thoughts and these considerations. And really what it comes down to is singularity. We are going to design our own doom.
Yes.
I firmly believe that.
Especially if it's going to happen in our lifetime or our kids' lifetime. Yeah, it's probably going to be brought on by us.
Within the next few generations of humans... Yeah,
it's us.
Now, once you start going past that, if it didn't happen by then, you start looking. Okay, there might be some more plausible solutions as far as asteroids or celestial bodies hitting us or whatever else. Of course, you've always got the Fermi paradox. If there's so many planets out there that are like Earth, why haven't we heard from the life of them? Have they already blown themselves to bits, or are they so far advanced they're just ignoring us? Or, there's a lot of things we can add on to that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. That's another.
This is very interesting to research. Yeah. So, is there anything else you want to bring up this week, man? We're getting a little long.
Yeah. No. That pretty much covers it. I just wanted to bring up some apocalyptic scenarios. Try to figure out what might end us someday, and I think we covered the subject pretty well.
Yeah. And the really important part of this, I mean, we're talking about it. We spent 20 minutes talking about this subject, and of course we're not experts on it. But this is all stuff that we learned within a week, and things that we've been considering. And really, what this show mostly is about is opening people's minds and conveying the fact that. Both Kent and I like to think about random stuff, and we like to talk about it. So if there's a scenario that we missed that you thought was particularly prevalent, we do make mistakes. So, or if you just have like a couple of scenarios that you're like, hey, what about this? What if the What if the robots develop Skynet for us, put us into a trance like the Matrix, and then the asteroid comes along and kills all the robots, and we wake up from the trance without knowing having any history of it because we've been in the Matrix, you know? And so there's a million different things, but if you got something you would like to throw at us, you can hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Ritual Misery.
You can find me at RM_Del Noche.
Yeah. And we're going to try to throw a little widget on our website, ritualmisery.com, so we can check out your rate beer ratings. That's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. In the meantime, if you want to check out my beer ratings, go to ratebeer.com and just look up username Del Noche.
Right. If they want to find me, they can find me at Ethan Kane, like it shows in a little lower third if you're watching the video, and if you're listening to the audio. This would be one of those episodes to watch the video on because it was a very interesting start to the Tonight Show. Again, you can follow our show on Twitter at Ritual Misery. Submit ideas to our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can email us at podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can find us on our home on the web, ritualmisery.com. You find all kinds of information about us individually, about the show, about where we're going with it. And pretty soon we're going to have an area up there for military members and military spouses, just people with military experience to throw questions out there and to throw answers on the best ways to combat. It's probably a poor choice of words. The best ways to deal with some of the unique situations that our military has put in. I'm really anxious to get that up there. And as soon as I can get a little extra free time, but I'm not trying to fix things that are already screwed up, I'll be able to get that up. Meanwhile, you can call and leave us a voicemail at 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. The music that should be cutting in right about now comes courtesy of Kevin McLeod at incomptech.com. We appreciate you listening. For Kent, for me, for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya. Yeah, it's gone, dude. Why the hell would they take it away?
You're suddenly really pissed off about something you didn't even know existed 2 minutes ago.
First world problems.